Hello, everyone, and welcome to Oh, a Podcast, the podcast about playing games and making games, brought to you by O-Rock Studios. I'm Paul Franzen, the head boy of O-Rock.
And I'm Michael Gray. I've spent the last month sweeping out the living room of O-Rock ever since I got caught stealing all of the fries.
Really wanted those fries, Michael.
I'm sorry.
They were the crispy, crunchy ones that I loved. Oh, yeah, that's right. You can be the head janitor. I think that sounds reasonable.
Oh, boy. It's been my dream.
I've told you about this. I was a janitor for a summer one time as a summer job.
Oh, I haven't heard this. No.
No, oh. Yeah, it was a summer job at, if you can believe it, my old elementary school. my mom was able to get me the job because she was a teacher there, a third grade teacher for many, many years. So I got to spend a summer painting the walls, scraping gum off of desks, moving stuff around, sweeping. We had a big like floor cleaning machine that we got to push around. It was weird. I was working with janitors that were janitors there when I was in fourth grade, third grade myself.
Did they recognize or remember you from incidents?
No, I was a very good kid. No, but they all knew me because my mom had been working at the school for so long.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so which is probably how I was able to get the job. I don't think I wowed them with my interview, where I likely said If I recall correctly, I didn't know how to use a mop, which was a problem for a bit. They had to show me how to mop correctly.
Oh, you need to. I remember I tried using a mop when I was cleaning theaters. I broke a light bulb actually in the bathrooms, but it wasn't on purpose.
Hit it with like the back of the handle or something.
Yeah,
that.
It was one of those long handled mops. So
yeah,
it wasn't like I was trying to play pinata with the mop, trying to destroy the light bulb.
Well, the real big day for me, the big treat was when someone came in and replaced my hand paintbrush with a paintbrush roller. That was incredible. Everything just suddenly went so much faster.
Actually, yeah, that does sound pretty awesome.
And it was fun too. I don't need to talk about this that much, but one of the other summer help was a kid that it had been my class. I'd been friends with since like kindergarten, first grade. So it was kind of cool to get to spend a lot of time with him. And he went on to actually be a teacher at the school himself a few years later. So good for him.
He had so much fun.
No,
cleaning bathrooms. He decided to do it permanently.
Oh, no. He teaches, I want to say, middle school history, something like that, social studies.
Ooh, middle school, wow. Learns about the American Revolution every year. Oh, no. Ancient Egyptians is grade six, right?
I don't think we ever studied Egyptians in middle school.
Really? Oh, my gosh. I remember... I think it's mentioned in To Kill a Mockingbird, where they had to study the Egyptians in grade six, and they had no idea why, and it's like, we did too!
No, I think it was what you said the first time. We always just start with, like, the Native Americans 100 years before the Revolution, and then we would make our way up to, like, around World War I, and then we'd start again from the beginning next year. I think it was in high school that I had to take a world cultures class for the first time, and I was... utterly unprepared for that class. I had no idea what anything was talking about because we'd never studied countries outside of the U.S.
Wow. Well, at least you know some of the countries outside the U.S. that we got into wars with, but...
Yes. Only the very early wars. I was familiar with France and England. I got those down pretty well.
Oh, did you learn anything about, like, the Mexican-American wars for Texas and such?
Yes, that does sound familiar too.
But
yes.
Nothing about Asia, nothing about Africa.
Oh, absolutely not. No, absolutely
South
not.
South America, definitely not. Or Europe.
So how you doing, Michael?
I'm fine. It sounds like we're gonna have to make a an educational game. I don't know.
For me specifically, yes.
Yeah. I had a document here with some game things that happened. What's been happening with you in game development? Have you been having like secret projects that you can't talk about?
Maybe a few. I actually just wrapped one up last week, and I'm definitely not going to say who the publisher is or what the game was, but I will say it paid more than multiple of our games have made for me combined, and it was, you know, like a month and a half long project.
What? Oh!
Which I think, as people have been listening to this podcast know, speaks a little more to our sales than it likely does to the value of the contract.
Well, if you're talking about the games which sold like two copies each, then
yeah,
maybe.
Well, I'm it's possible I'm talking about like Francie Drew and I don't know, I feel like Pizza Boy didn't sell as well as I was hoping.
Yeah.
It's a shame. I think that's actually one of our better produced, best looking games, to be honest. I think we did a really good job on that one.
But I think all the people who got it really, really loved it, and I don't think that was the case with yeah. some of our other poor sellers.
Yeah, all right. So I just need to get better at selling the games, I guess. Better at the Steam page, figuring out trailer stuff. That's always so hard. I'm not a persuasive individual. I'm not good at being like, here's why you should buy my game. I'm better at, here's my game. Hope you like it. I don't know.
Get you a book on marketing, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Give me a book on marketing and world history. That's my Christmas list this year.
Yes. So I also had a little game writing misadventure this past month.
Oh boy.
So out of the blue, I got an email from someone who's looking for people to write 3 to 4 murder mystery games, and I was like one of 3 people who were recommended, and it's specifically because of 1-minute mysteries, which surprised me, because it's like, wow, my game that doesn't sell well, it might get me an actual job. It's like, it would be amazing if that job paid more than, you know, the actual game. But, you know, the person, I'm probably not supposed to, like, read their emails out loud on a podcast. That's probably...
No, probably not. You can tell me.
Oh, okay.
I'll edit it out. I don't know if you listened to last episode, but I ended up leaping several names and numbers and stuff like that we weren't supposed to share.
Oh, no. You bleeped them out, so it sounds like we're cursing the entire time.
Yeah. A little bit, maybe.
Oh, man, that bleep. I really don't like that guy.
Huh, yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of it coming across that way. Maybe I'll have to think of a better solution.
Anyway, the person wanted an estimate, so I had no idea what the estimate is. I don't know what my normal rates are, because I've never done this before, so I lowballed it. I said 80 cents per word, or $1,000 for the whole thing. And they never responded. Yeah, I sent them a follow-up email a week later. They never responded, so my joke is this person wanted me to write a murder mystery. Clearly they have been killed, and that's why they didn't respond. Maybe somebody else had a lower bid, but...
Yeah, someone else is like, I'll do it for 2 cents a word.
Oh, I wasn't the one who came up with that. I wasn't the one who came up with that bid. I would have done however long it took me to write Cat President. Basically, I know it took me like an hour to write each chapter of Cat President, so I'd figure out what the average number of words per chapter is. It's like, okay, this is reasonably how many words I can write in an hour, and say I'm paying myself $15 an hour. That's how I'd figure out my per word.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But, my wife said she researched it, and she's like, here, this is a good lowball. And I'm like, okay, I'll assume you're correct.
Yeah, no, I have no idea. I definitely also, I think, tend to lowball people for the sake of getting the job, and certainly to my own detriment. It's tough. I'm also constantly impressed and amazed at how fast you can write. I was writing for a project today. I spent the whole afternoon on it, and I added a net of 1,000 words, which was, I think, a page and a half. So I don't know how you do it.
I don't know how I do it either.
Please tell me your secrets. Give me your secrets, Michael.
I get stuck all the time. It feels like I'm not writing as quickly as I can or should be at this moment, because I just finished writing. What do you call it? So with the kidnapped prom queen, my goal was to write, like, you know, I had 9 chapters left to, you know, in this final pathway. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to write a chapter a day, be finished in a week, hopefully. And then it ended up being like 3 weeks. So I'm not feeling confident in my speed writing abilities, especially when you've got some days where, you know, day number one, I wrote 613 words.
Okay. Well, see, that sounds much more reasonable to me.
Yeah.
that's all right. That's closer to my pace then.
Yeah. But if I get a chance to work multiple hours, then maybe I can. So I think I've mentioned NaNoWriMo before, the National Novel Writing Month for November.
And right.
Where you're supposed to write a novel that's like 50,000 words. So I've just been keeping track of how much I wrote each day with my video game writing projects. I know you're supposed to do it in November, but it's on the honor system, so they don't know if I actually wrote.
Well, now they do. I'm turning you in.
Oh, jeez. Oh, no.
Someone will.
Yeah.
Oh.
But, oh my gosh, there are a couple of days where, you know, you can tell which days I had, like, the whole day off and was able to write, because those are the days where my word count just explodes. But another trick I did was, I don't know if this is cheating or not, but instead of writing, like, a variable to keep track of whether or not a topic's been discussed before in the programming, I just did a huge chunk of copy-pasting. I think that completely inflates the word count.
I would think so. I would imagine if it's literally just, you know, the same thing for 300 words that was already in the script.
Yeah, let me see if I can find that section again. Yeah,
it sounds like you're already cheating, so who cares?
Yeah, so here's the thing. Let's see. There are 3 clues our heroes can discuss. And so I've got a separate scene for each different possibility, I guess. So I don't know if that's like 6 or 10 possibilities. But, you know, if you check out the TV remote, the conversation's always going to be the same. The only thing that changes is what can you talk about next. And if I were smart, I would have just made a variable to say, okay, have you talked about the nameplate? Good, then it doesn't show up if you've talked about it.
I tend to find copying and pasting stuff in the coding specifically. It can be a time saver at times, but I think it also can introduce problems specifically if you need to go and revise the text later. Like if there's like a typo in it and you go back and fix it, you might, you know, mess up and not change it every time, or it'll be a pain to change it every time, or worse if you have to actually like change something with the code in that section, like.
Oh, I did. It was such a pain. Oh, I was screaming when the auto check thing said, "Oops, there's a problem in this section. You've got a dead link going to newspaper 3, and there's no newspaper 3 scene," and it made me very sad.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, that would be a reason to try to avoid copy pasting if possible.
But yeah, that was an easy way to get like 1,000.
It certainly does improve your word count.
Certainly, yeah. It's like, oh, I'll just copy paste the same scene all the time.
It makes you feel better. Yeah, I think so. The thing I always run into when I'm writing, and that was something I noticed today, so it's on my mind, is that it just takes me forever to get like in the writing zone. Like, it's not uncommon for me to spend, like, I'll say I have, like, you know, 3-4 hours of an afternoon set aside to write, specifically to write on something. I'll spend the first hour just, like, looking at what I did before and making the tiniest changes to it and getting, like, really hung up in small stuff. And then the second hour, I'll finally get into the new stuff, but I still, like, it'll be, like, piece by piece by piece, like letter by letter almost. And then by the end, it's like, okay, now I just did 600 words in like the last half hour. Yay.
Yeah.
So I need to figure out how to get to that 600 word yay point.
I feel
earlier.
Some of my tricks.
Yes, please.
I go to the library or McDonald's or somewhere, and right there. I don't know how often you write outside of home, but not being able to check like Twitter and Facebook and my email really helps.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
that's a good idea though. Maybe just like, because it's. I'm only writing on this project one day a week. It's a Wednesday afternoon thing, so I can spend the rest of my time working on our other project, Cat President 2 and Internet Court. So maybe I just need to set aside that afternoon and just like get out of my office, go to the local cafe, just go out like on my deck, go out far enough that I can't get a Wi-Fi signal, something like that. Maybe that would help.
Or just go somewhere else. There's
Yeah.
Like, psychologically speaking, apparently it works. If you've got this special place where you only write, that's what you do in that place, then, you know, if you go to that place, then you'll automatically want to start writing. I guess that makes sense. Like, here's probably a better example. It's my body position when I'm, you know, in my computer. Late at night, I always tend to be, like, slumped back. And I'm way less efficient whenever I get slumped back. So one trick I can do is change my body position and force myself to sit up straight. That causes me to concentrate and focus more. I don't know. I read somewhere that works. It works. No, yeah.
I like this. I think I'll try to I'll try to give it a shot next week and see if that helps at all. It's a good idea. Thank you.
Yeah, pull out a chair. This is the writing chair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it could be just as simple as, like I said, well, I want to say going out on my back deck, but it's going to get really cold soon, so maybe not that, but, like, just switching to downstairs. The basement can be my writing room, my creepy-ass basement with the exposed rock walls.
Well, I know when I used to be writing fan fiction in, like, college and stuff, it you know, I would always be, like, on my computer, on my bed, lying on my side, and that just put me, because I never did that for anywhere else. I mean, for, like, just messing around on the internet in general, I didn't do that on my bed, so I just kind of got into a writing mood. You know, after doing it enough, you know, my body just realizes, oh, he's in the writing position, I need to start writing now. Just trick your brain into working the way you want it to work, I guess.
Look, this is writing time now. This is not messing around on Twitter time.
Yeah, but I'm writing tweets. No, stop, brain.
Well, I just need to tell my body, like, look, I know every time feels like Twitter time, but this time is special. This is no Twitter.
Yeah, so one thing I did differently, I just went totally off the rails, I guess, with this pathway of the kidnapped prom queen.
Awesome. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah, completely just tore up, well, not completely, but definitely tore up my outlines. So we've got a completely different, like, cast of characters than who was supposed to originally appear. The one character whose name is impossible to program doesn't show up, so that was great. But, no, for whatever reason, with Chapter 2, at the end of Chapter 2, that's when the prom queen gets kidnapped, and then chapter 3 is when your character gets kidnapped, and that's the case with every pathway. But for some reason I had the best friend character there at the end of chapter 2, so I don't know, I'd have to check the dates, but I had written chapter 2 like months before June.
Yeah.
Wow, back in June. Okay. And then, you know, started writing chapters 3 through 10 just this month, October. So I decided I liked the best friend character, and now she ended up being one of the victims, rather than, I guess she replaced the character with the hard-to-program name. And that character appears in the final secret ending, and that was one of the testers got back to me. It's like, hey, this name doesn't work.
Wait, so did we talk about this before? What was broken about the character's name? Was there, like, a weird symbol in it, or was it, like, too long or something?
No, it's just, it's a name that you get to choose what the character's name is.
Okay.
And so every single time I, have to do a special variable for this character's real name and then this character's nickname. This is kind of silly. So the recommended nickname for the character is J-Dog based on our playthrough of
Wait, from
999, 9 hours, 9 persons, 9 doors.
my gosh. Oh, that is a deep pull. Oh, I love it.
Well, that's
Nicola would be proud.
because in way back when version of the game, I used the J-Dog's portrait as the character's picture.
Yeah, for anyone who has no idea what we're talking about, back in the Game Cola days, me, Michael, and our friend Nicolas Suprak did a sort of a Let's Play video of the 999 games, and the character, I'm gonna say
Yeah,
Junpei.
I think that's it.
None of us knew how to really pronounce the name, so we all just started calling him J-Dog for the longest time. It made things easier for us. The pony pros. Anyway.
Yeah, I have a hard time coming up with default names for the characters. The player can pick whatever they want to name the character, but also they can pick the name from a list. So the options are
Yeah.
Akemi Karashi, Victoria Miller, Katie Henderson, and then pick your own choice. Those are the females. Victoria, obviously named after Victoria Budke, I imagine. Katie, named after my wife. So the male names, Akira Karashi, Billy Butler, Michael Nickerson, and then pick your own name.
Wait, Victoria gets to be in the game, but I don't.
You're like mentioned as
Oh,
somewhere.
I'm a corpse, aren't I? You killed me off. I see how this is.
I forget. Yeah, here we are, Route 1, Chapter 4.
Totally gonna kill you off in a game now.
Yep, you're Coach Franzen. You coach the football team.
Okay. Well, at least it's a realistic depiction of me.
Yeah. This is, I should warn you, the football team doesn't win any games. They're
Oh, so it is realistic.
kind of
Perfect.
notoriously bad, and I poke jokes at them throughout the entire
Nope,
thing.
that is perfect. I notoriously in T-ball, not T-ball, Little League, hit the ball exactly once, and I got like a standing ovation from my team because I got on base.
Yay.
And I got to keep the ball. I'm pretty sure I got out at second, but so there, that tracks.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was amusing that the one character gets to be the captain of the football team, but I just thought it was funny if the football team loses every single game. I don't
Yeah.
know why that struck me as particularly humorous, but it did at the time I was writing it, and so it basically becomes a running gag. I don't know. It feels like the stereotype is that the football players are like the kings of the school and whatnot, and everybody loves them and they're super popular. It's like, even if the team is terrible.
So, but it sounds like the script for Kidnapped Prom Queen is finished now, is that correct?
Yeah, it's finished, and I'm giving the testers a month to play through it. Let me know what they like,
Awesome.
what they don't, if they have any ideas for achievements. I always had in the back of my mind to do achievements, but I didn't actually think of one until this pathway in Chapter 3 with the first puzzle that you get to solve, cheeseburger, is one of the wrong options on all three rounds of the puzzle. So I'm like, there should be an achievement if you select cheeseburger all three times.
Yeah, sure.
But that's going to involve programming. Ugh.
That's one of the harder parts for I mean, I guess not that hard, but for working on story-based games like this, like the visual novels we do, is coming up with achievements for them. I mean, 'cause they're not really going to be tied to gameplay. It can't be like, get 50 headshots in a game. It has to be like pick this option instead of this option. Pick all of these options, stuff like that. It's tough to be creative with it.
Yeah, I know that's what a lot of games do. Yeah, or I guess the more casual games, they just give you awards like, okay, you got like to this point in the game, like halfway through.
Yeah.
You got to the point where this is revealed and that unlocks the achievement Secrets Revealed.
Or just like finish chapter 1, finish chapter 2, etc. I do think in Cat President we got one of the all-time greatest achievements, which is called Marry a Cat. I enjoyed that one a lot. And that one was actually tricky, because you think it would be an achievement you unlock in any of the good endings, but you don't specifically marry the candidate in every single ending. I had to go through them all to figure out which ones where you literally marry the cat.
Oh, something that popped into my mind. I was surprised at the end of writing this pathway of the kidnapped prom queen. I had a scene where the culprit stabbed someone as a distraction so they could get away.
Okay.
And I had to rewrite that. I was like, does that go against the Apple Store or Google Play Store rules? I know there used to be, I used to know where to find, like, the list of rules where, what the ratings are. I thought maybe actual blood would bring my, rating up. There's no swearing in my game. In some of the pathways, there is swearing, but it's either, like, bleeped out, or I use other words rather than curse words. So, I don't...
There's gotta be more violent games than this on the Apple I... whatever store. This is a hosted games game, right?
Yeah, it should be.
I feel like I've seen hosted games that have more violence than one person getting stabbed once. I don't know. I feel like you should be fine, but I'm speaking as someone who's never released an Apple game, so...
Well, 999 was released on Apple, wasn't it? So...
That's a pretty violent game.
Yep.
There's blood in that.
There's blood, there's violence, there's swearing. I'm sure it's probably rated something, though.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Luigi's Mansion 3 is coming out. That's cool. You know, I played Luigi's Mansion 2 for a little bit, and I'm like, this is... Oh, gosh. I'm trying to remember if the word is paramount or tantamount. Anyway, it reminded me of Zelda, but it was...
Really?
Instead of, like, sword play, it was fighting ghosts. It's basically the Zelda puzzle dungeons. Really.
Yeah. I mean, I played all of the original one. I was not left with a desire to play any more Luigi's Mansion after that, but apparently that puts me in the minority, because I think people are really excited about it.
Well, the controls for the second one were kind of not so good, actually. Or maybe I just wasn't reading the controls correctly. That felt like that could also be a problem, too. I don't know. Apparently there's a green Luigi in this one, but Luigi's already Gooigi. Green. Oh.
Gooigi. He's gooey.
That's gross. Is he different from Luigi, or is this Luigi turned...
He's made of goo. I don't know what you want.
Is he like Slimer? Or...
Yeah, kind of. Google Gooigi sometime. There's like... Yeah, goo melting off of him, isn't there? Yeah.
I'm just wondering if Gooigi is a separate character from Luigi. Do Gooigi and Luigi ever, are in the same room together? That's just my question.
that's a great question that I am not currently prepared to answer for you.
Because I know, like, Rainbow Mario and actual Mario are supposed to be the same character.
What's Rainbow Mario?
Our Metal Mario.
Metal Mario, yeah. Well, I mean, in Mario 64, you put on a hat and become Metal Mario. So I don't know if, like, in Luigi's Mansion 3, you eat a Jell-O and become Gooigi.
That could be it. That would actually be amazing. I'm surprised Metal Mario still shows up in a bunch of Mario games.
Now I'm looking at the Metal Mario. We should get back on track. Would you like some updates on Internet Court and Cat President too?
Sure. I'll get back to the thing I was talking about later.
No. You can go. You can get back to it now. It's fine.
Oh, I found out that writing all those Dragon Ball Z fanfics was actually useful for something. I'm surprisingly good at writing hand-to-hand combat scenes now.
Oh, cool.
It's like, that's never really had to come up in any of our games, really. But I could keep track of where the characters are standing and where all their body parts are, if they're moving around and attacking each other in various ways, which I hope is interesting to read. I don't know, maybe my fight scenes are actually boring, but... They were easy to write, and I'm told those are really, really hard to write fight scenes just out of nowhere. And another idea just a random joke line, throwaway line, was about soap operas, and I was like, oh, soap opera high, wouldn't that be great? That sounds like a...
Oh, no.
That sounds like a video game or something.
No more soap opera games.
TV show, yeah.
Haven't we done enough soap opera games yet, Michael?
One is enough, definitely.
Two, if you count Francie Drew, too.
Oh my gosh, you're right. Oh, yeah, that's way too much.
No, it's fine.
I feel like it would be just like that Doki Doki Literature Club game, which I've never played and know nothing about besides the name, but Soap
you
Opera
should
Club.
Play it.
That should work.
Oh, soap opera. But what about a Doki Doki Running Club, too?
Yeah.
That I was all excited about before. Yeah, I think, I think Trapped in a Soap Opera, which you can buy individually on Itch as opposed to as a package on Steam, I think it might literally be our lowest selling game. I think it sold like two copies.
It's very sad.
Oh, well, but I mean, it's because people would just buy the bundle on Steam instead. So it's not necessarily because of the game itself, but...
What? Doki Doki Literature Club is a 2017? I thought it was like something that came out 15 years ago.
No, that's super new.
Wow, I'm just terrible at knowing what games are... While this game appears to be a lighthearted dating simulator, it's in fact a metaphysical psychological horror game that extensively breaks the fourth wall. I don't know if I want to play this game anymore.
Oh no, I think it would actually be too scary for you. It would definitely be too scary for your audience, and possibly for you as well.
Oh no. I just want to play a game where I get to date famous literary people like Shakespeare and...
Oh, that's not what it is at all. You could play like the first like half hour of it or so, probably.
Oh, there's a poem writing mini game. That's cute.
I would stop there. Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like that would be, that sounds like something that would be a Japanese dating sim, is all these famous authors get turned into cute high school girls and you have to date them.
Wasn't there one where I dated... Oh, I think it might have been literary characters, not authors. I'm pretty sure there's one where I dated, like, Sherlock Holmes and...
Oh, that's tricky. He doesn't like dating people.
Yeah, well, so they got around, Oh, and I think Dr. Frankenstein was in there, too. But they got around copyright issues by calling him Herlock Sholmes, which I liked a lot.
That's the traditional copyright-free version of his name.
Yeah, that was Code Realize. I think I played it on Vita. That was a great game.
Yes, I love how Herlock Sholmes is an actual
thing.
That
was the one where the if I recall correctly, the main character had to wear gloves all the time because if she ever touched anybody, she melted them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think that's the one where you melt people.
We need to be writing more like game premises. I don't know. Okay, so that's all on my list. What's going on with Internet Court? I did not get a chance to watch any of Internet Court. I think I said last time I went through the outtakes for Chapter 2, and then that was
it. Yes. I'm very disappointed. That was one of my bullet points, was asking, has Michael played case number 2 yet?
I got it transferred to another computer so I could show it off to people, and that was going to be playing it, but then they got distracted and did something else.
Oh, that's okay. I mean, I guess I don't actually have a ton of updates for Internet Court. I'm very, very far, not very far, but I'm well into putting together case number 3 now. I think I'm at, like, I'm just starting on the big grammar puzzle in that case. We're going to see if that turns out to be a coding nightmare or not. Because I think for the first part of the puzzle, you have to pick out which words are typos, right?
Mm-hmm. And something like that.
I mean, it won't be challenging to code, but I think it'll be time consuming just because there's a lot of different words. So I'm gonna have to code things for highlighting each individual word.
Oh.
In order to find. Yeah. So I already put together the art for it, but I will have to make all of the different objects or whatever you call them in RenPy. So that'll take a little bit of time, but it'll be fairly straightforward once I'm able to define all of them, because it'll just, you know, check if it's spelled correctly or not. There's only two options where it's going to go from there, so It's just a matter of taking the time to do it, which I don't have a problem with. I don't mind stuff that takes a lot of time if it's not like super difficult to figure out.
Oh wow. So okay, so Gooigi and Luigi are different people. They have been pictured together in the same room. Gooigi apparently is from the future or something like that.
The future where Luigi is goo.
he was created by future Professor Egad. So,
great.
He's apparently edible and may taste like coffee.
Oh, what? What happens if you eat part of him?
I don't know.
Does it come, like, does he make more? Can you run out of Gooigi?
Gooigi, the player can use him to reach certain areas, such as going past bikes.
No, I want to learn he more about eating him.
He melts if he touches... It says he melts if he touches water and disintegrates if he touches Yikes. Fire. He's only got 25 HP.
Sorry. I Google image searched this, and one of the links is 5 quick and easy Gooigi meal ideas, and there's a picture of Gooigi's head on a plate.
No, poor Gooigi.
He does, I'll be honest, look delicious. This is awful.
Can you eat it? You're the second person to ask. Oh, yeah, they've got an interview with this guy.
Why do people the producer, keep asking him this?
You're the second person to ask if you can eat Gooigi. Laugh. It's probably like gummy, so you can eat it. The actual backstory is that the professor extracted a bunch of energy out of a ghost he captured and accidentally spilled coffee on it. And that's how the goo was made.
Just getting worse and worse.
And this person's totally not allowed to even touch Waluigi. That's sad. So that's why Waluigi isn't in Luigi's Mansion. Well, then who's allowed to make Waluigi games? I want my Waluigi dating sim.
I want my goo Waluigi.
Waguigi?
Waguigi, that's way better. Ugh. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, just that's the big update, really, is that Internet Court is progressing very nicely, and we're going to see what happens with this puzzle. It's possible that next time we talk, I'll be like, yeah, I finished the puzzle, and that's all I did this month. But we'll see. Hopefully not. Cat President 2 has also made significant progress. I'm working on the endings for the first pathway now. So that should be wrapped up in the next week or so, I think. And I'll have the pathway ready to send to you for your approval. But yeah, since I'm working on the endings now, you and I had emailed back and forth a little bit about some specifics about how we want to do endings this time, because if you, the listeners, recall for Cat President 1, when you would get to an ending, like the game would kind of fade to black, and then there'd be a big message that would say, "Good ending!" And it would be like a picture of something that I thought looked happy, like yes, and the hallelujah
yeah,
of course
music
would
play.
And there would be like a plate of cookies or a Christmas tree or something. And I don't think we're going to do that this time. I think in retrospect, I think it's just it's too goofy, it's too much. And I think when I've watched like Let's Players playing through the game, I think it didn't really land that well with them.
I thought it was great. It was like, I guess I got used to it. Whatever you call it, when you know it's coming, as like I'm interested in seeing, okay, what's the new bad picture going to be? What's the new good picture going to be? Like, oh it's
fair.
Just a cow in the field. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's kind of bad.
Well, it was hard too to come up with what like the normal ending pictures were, trying to find like, okay, what's a normal thing? What is
Here's
normal?
A bowl of cereal.
Yeah. I did like for one of the bad endings, I had a picture of a porta potty that got knocked over on its side during a hurricane. I enjoyed a picture I had taken when we lived in Connecticut. I liked that one quite a bit. But yeah, I never really got the impression that it was really working. So I think we're going to try something that Michael and I, we've both seen other visual novels do, which is the game doesn't really necessarily tell you what the ending is at first, and it maybe it doesn't even like tell you that you're even in an ending. Like you might not know you're in an ending until you actually finish it. And then after the scenes are completed, it fades to black, and in like the bottom corner of the screen, it'll be like, good ending. Or like character name, good ending. Or I think you had some cat president specific labels we could be using for that too.
Yeah, president specific. It's like presidential ending, and then also ran, and it's like I don't know what other names. I don't know if your character actually becomes the president in every pathway. So that would be the question. It's like, can we really call it the presidential ending?
Sure.
If all that happened is you got the nomination, we don't know if you won the race against DJ Nibbles.
Yeah, President DJ Nibbles. Please put some respect on his name. So I think that's something that I will be playing around with in the next couple of weeks as I actually finalize these ending sequences. But as I was talking about last month, I'm very, very happy with how quickly this is all going at this point. And I hope it continues to go quickly and we're able to get the game out before the election, before the general election, I should say.
Yeah, it'd be helpful if we get out before all the people stop dropping out, I guess.
After people stop paying attention to politics for another 4 years.
Yeah, I don't know.
But no, I think what was it? Cat President 1 came out in August of the election year last time, and I think that's not unreasonable. The election's in November next year, so we got time. We got time to play with. I'm very optimistic about it. I had a couple other notes on Cat President 2. You know we have Michael, you know we have a parody of The View in this pathway that I'm working on, which we included almost entirely so we could call it The Mew, which is...
Yes.
Yes.
It was Paul's idea.
It was. I believe you said you had never watched The View and had no idea what it was, and neither have I.
I understand it's a talk show, and for some reason, presidential candidates go on this particular talk show.
Yes.
I mean, I guess that makes sense. Sometimes they show up on, like, late night TV show, but they don't show up on, like, The Chew or other talk shows.
Yeah.
I don't know what other talk shows. Jerry Springer. I've never seen a presidential candidate on Jerry Springer. I don't know why.
Look,
would be great.
They appeared on actual pro wrestling in real life one time, so I feel like anything goes at this point.
I know. I feel like they need to show more love to these daytime TV shows. They could be on soap operas. I don't know.
There it is. Yeah. we'll have the soap opera storyline in the next game. Don't worry.
I'm sure there are presidents that have been on soap operas.
The reason I bring this up is because, and it's a very, very small matter, but we had a character in the Mew called Sunny, and I just realized that I had to change that name because there's someone on the actual View who is named Sunny. Whoops. Goes to show how much we know about the actual show. And one of the things I wanted to briefly touch upon was that, so we've been doing our casting call for humans for the game, and kind of to my surprise, not that many humans have been applying for the job. We had way, way, way more cats apply for the game than humans. So I've been going to Fiverr a lot more than I was anticipating to hire models off of there, which is fine. Except that I like working with people that I have the established relationships with on Twitter and Facebook and everything a little better, because the people on Fiverr can be a little hit or miss. Like this one guy that I tried to contract to be, I don't want to give spoilers for the character's name, so I'll just say he's the hot guy, the hunky guy. And after I made the order and sent him the money, he just sent me a bunch of random selfies that he had sitting on his phone. And that was it.
As opposed to the actual...
As opposed to the, like, page-long detailed list of the specifications for what I needed and all the different poses. He's just like, hey, here's a bunch of good, cool selfies and images from my last photo shoot. Hope this is good.
That's... Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. And then I kept, you know, asking him to resubmit, like, okay, this is a problem, obviously. And he's like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll send the pictures. And this went on for several weeks, and then I never got the pictures. So I feel like that happens a lot when I'm trying to work with people. Like, you run into people sometimes where they keep saying, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna do it. Don't worry, I'm doing it this week. I'm doing it this weekend. I'm doing it tomorrow," and then they just keep saying that for months and months on end. And I would respect you so much more if you just said, "Look, I'm not gonna do it. I'm sorry," and then we can all move on with our lives, and I don't have to waste a month of my life hunting you down and trying to get pictures from you. It frustrates me so much. It goes to show, once again, how valuable it can be as an indie game developer to find people that you like working with and that you can trust to do the things that they say they're gonna do and not hold up your project for a month by continuing to say that they're gonna do something and never doing it. It's tough and extremely valuable when you can find those people that you can trust to work with. That's all.
Yeah. Let's see, did I mention about One Minute Mysteries getting updated?
Oh, I think you talked about it on Twitter. I don't know if you mentioned it on the podcast.
Oh, wow. I'm checking just now with the... Okay. Sorry, I just checked the Pride and Prejudice and Murder, and it looks like the other person has... Wow. 2 days ago, this person wrote, about a page and a half. Okay,
nice.
So... It would have been very sad if you go on this big speech about how it's terrible when you work with people you don't know and they let you down. It's like, well, this is somebody I'm working with who I've never met in person, but they aren't letting me down. So hooray, they wrote half a page this month.
Okay, yay. It's tough. You can't just work alone on anything. You have to find these people. It's just, it can be tough. So when I find people that I'm able to rely on, I like working with them again and again and again when I can. That's why you see a lot of the same names in the credits of our games.
Yeah, well, he's playing the hot guy, so we don't have that many choices. It's like, well, oh, whoa. I could just start working out now, and it'll be fine.
It's fine. To put a cap on that story, I did eventually find a hot guy for us. Don't worry.
Oh, good, 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 good,
yes.
Good.
Yeah, so what happened with your update?
Oh, yeah. So I think it was last month where I complained that the update for 1 Minute Mysteries disappeared, and it did. But now the update went through.
Yay!
So basically, I got an email from Bleep saying that Bleep is no longer working with them, and the update got lost in the shuffle. So Bleep decided to push it out immediately, put at the top of their list.
Okay.
I guess, because it's like, well, because I wrote, it's like, well, it's been 2 months, and I guess that's a very reasonable excuse, and glad the person's like, well, if Michael's been waiting 2 months, okay, I'll just throw that at the top of my to-do lists. And, I would have been fine if, I'd gotten a brush off or something sure, I'll get around to it eventually, but it did get done within hours, so I'm very glad.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, so I saw your tweet about that, and then I immediately went to my phone to attempt to update the game, and I accidentally reset all my progress.
No!
So, I think you said you posted the updated mystery online somewhere, so I might have to just read it there because I have to play through the whole game again otherwise, which maybe I want to do again for fun, but not right now.
Yeah, I actually deleted that post about it.
Oh, you did? Okay.
On my gamer blog, because I don't need a post saying here's the mystery that nobody got to see, because people get to see it now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I could read it to you. It was a variation of mystery number 4 or something like that, the first hidden animal mystery. So somebody discovered there was a second solution to the puzzle, so I changed it so there was only one solution. And so the bonus mystery is the original version of the puzzle. It's like, okay, see if you can find the second unintentional solution.
Awesome.
That's why it's good to have testers to realize problems like that.
I suspect I will play this game again at some point and 100% it.
You won't get an achievement for it.
Oh, but then never mind, I won't.
It's going to be very hard for me to, I don't know, maybe writing achievements will be easy, maybe it won't. I don't know how it works on the Google Play Store. are on the Apple store. So if I have to do something different for every specific store, then I'm probably just gonna not do
it. Well, do Apple and Google have achievement-based systems? I wasn't even aware of that. I know Steam does, and like Xbox and PlayStation. I didn't know if Google and Apple do.
They used to do. Wasn't there like a game center thing that came on my computer or my phone? There used to be. I don't know where it is now.
Oh yeah, there it is. Game Center, Apple developer. Okay. Yeah, I have no idea. I honestly only rarely play mobile games. I usually prefer playing them on my computer or a console. So I know very little about any of that whole world.
Okay. Yeah, they changed how Game Center works. It's no longer an automatic installed app. You actually have to do it separately. A social gaming service that lets you interact with friends, track and compare scores and achievements. So yeah, they do have it, but it's different.
Okay, yeah, cool.
But I don't think it's like... I don't know if achievements are worth anything. I don't know. I don't think on Steam, like, I got 12 achievements. Now I can turn that into... get a hamburger mailed to me. I don't think they're redeemable for anything, just street cred.
People love their achievements on Steam, though. It definitely, like, is a selling point. There are whole games on Steam where the entire premise is just unlocking as many achievements as possible. Like, the game's literally called, like, Achievement Hunter or something like that. Like, they have a ton of stuff like that. People love their chivos.
There's advanced achievements? What?
What does that mean? I want the advanced achievements!
Using check achievements, we can award new achievements based entirely on achievements already earned. These are known as meta achievements.
Oh, so is that like the PlayStation? Like, if you unlock all trophies, you get a special platinum trophy? Is it something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it looks like if you've gotten achievements 1, 2, and 3, you've achieved number 4.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know. I don't know where you would put that in the code.
I guess every time you earn one of the achievements 1 through 3, you then have to check, like, have you unlocked 1 through 3? If so, award number 4.
Yeah, that's what I did with Mermaid Mission Titanic.
Yeah, we did that in Cat President too, I think.
Yeah, that's always kind of a pain. I know somebody recommended, like, have an achievement for if the person, like, answered all, I think there are 21 different puzzles in the game, if you got all the answers correct on the first try. I'm like, that would take forever to code.
Yeah. All right, so would you like to answer some listener questions before we get going?
Sure.
All right, we'll just do one this month. This question comes to us from Alicia V. Parker, and this is one I was hoping you could answer, Michael, because I got nothing. How young is too young to be gaming?
I don't know.
Oh, you're the dad.
It depends on what you mean by gaming, because I know... You know, like, when you go to restaurants or something, the kids' menu will often have, like, coloring or, tic-tac-toe. And I know there are games or apps that have those sorts of things. Like Color a Dinosaur for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Why is this the second time I've heard someone mention Color a Dinosaur this week?
Oh my goodness, haven't you noticed it's Color a Dinosaur month?
Apparently. It was the yard sale guy at Game Cola just got a copy of it and he's talking about it. Oh, that's so funny.
But no, there are definitely games and apps that are designed for younger kids that wouldn't be able to handle, like, a controller or such. There are a couple of games which I think are okay. Like, I really liked when I was a kid, like Kid Picks or, Paint. I guess Paint really isn't considered a game, but yeah, they don't have, like, a minimum age on the games. So what they do in the... I think it's computer games, but they set it up somehow on the screen, so it's a touch screen, so the kids just touch it rather than use a mouse. I think that's how they have games for the littler kids. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they've got games like, here's ABC games, here are nursery rhyme games. So these are games definitely targeted for people that are you know, 3 and maybe even under. I'm not sure how developed the kids' hands are when they're 1 year old, though. I forget at this point. But you have to be able to at least point and click. Or tap the screen, I guess.
So you're saying there's, like, different levels, different types of games that are appropriate for quite young audiences like that, younger children. It's just sort of a matter of the type of game that the child would be playing.
But yeah.
There are appropriate games for very young kids. That's interesting. I don't know that I would have thought of that.
Yeah, a lot of storybook games. You know, would you consider a storybook game a game? Maybe, maybe not. I remember there was a Mickey Mouse game for the Nintendo Entertainment System where all you had to do... There were like 3 gameplay modes, and there was the super easy gameplay mode where all you have to do is press the right button, and you win eventually. And then I think, you know, the harder level involves you actually have to jump a little bit or go back sometimes. I forget what it was. Well, it's been a while.
That's an interesting point. Like, going back that far, like, I definitely had, like, Sesame Street games on the NES. I was like, Sesame Street 1, 2, 3, Sesame Street ABC. That was just about teaching very, very basic stuff. So I'm sure including an educational component to the game as well could be considered important. I think I also currently own, for the Philips CDI system, a variety of educational, quote-unquote, games that require, I think, no input. Like, I'm looking at it right now. I got a game, 2 games called The Emperor's New Clothes and How the Camel Got His Hump. And if I recall from what I'm playing them, they were very much like disc-based versions of film strips you would have watched when you were a kid with like a cassette tape playing. I don't know if you ever remember those from elementary school, but it's basically if they translated that into a video game, that's sort of what these are. So I imagine those are appropriate for any kids that are... You know, at a developmental stage where they can watch and understand television, they could handle those, certainly.
Yeah, I've seen... Yeah, like I said, there are some apps like that, the nursery rhyme games, where it's basically, okay, you tap on the nursery rhyme and they'll play it for you. Storybook games also, a common feature, I think, is it will just play itself, even if the kid has gotten bored and has walked to the other room.
Oh, very interesting. So there are definitely games appropriate for children of all ages, it sounds like. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think on that note, that about does it for this month's episode. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Paul M. Franzen, and Michael is at Arglefunf, spelled exactly as it sounds. You can check out all of our games on Steam or itch.io, or just visit oarock.com for the complete library. Our theme song is Dead Monster by March of the Dangermen. You can check them out on SoundCloud. And finally, if you have any questions about game development or our games specifically, we'd love to hear them. Email them to podcast@oarock.com. Is there anything that you would like to add, Michael? All right. See everyone next month.
All right.
Bye. Oh, that's gotta be a thing. Guwaluigi.
Really?
Oh, I don't see any fan art of Guwaluigi. Alright, someone's gonna have to work on that.
Waguigi?
Waguigi, that's way better.